Yeah, Season is the new book by Mark Moriarty. Second book, Mark.
Second, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's a lovely looking book.
Well, yeah, if nothing else, it'll look good on the coffee table at home. That's one of the USPs that I was putting together for it.
Yeah, Cliona Prendergast is the photographer.
She's fantastic.
She does a brilliant job.
She does, yeah. And look, cookbooks are as much about the photography and the photographer as the chef and the author, so...
Now, there is one complaint about it.
Okay.
Because there's some lovely photography of scenery around Ireland, and you don't tell us where they are.
No, they're non-specific.
Why is that?
They're generally a mix of Connemara around Cliona's house.
Right.
And on my request, a couple of West Kerry shots, mainly the Blaskets and Dingle, because that's where I started cooking.
Yes. You started cooking down in Ventry.
Dingle, yeah, a Charterhouse restaurant. I went in there.
But even before that?
Yeah, I was into fishing.
Yeah.
It was fishing first, and then we just had loads of amazing seafood, and the natural progression was to learn how to cook it. And I was a sort of could go on YouTube at the time and look up the likes of Gordon Ramsay and Hesse Mumtal, and off it went from there.
And what's the connection with Ventry?
My father's side of the family would have all been Ventry originally. And, you know, it's only now I appreciate it in a bit in later life to be able to go down to a place like that, summer holidays and weekends, and have sort of and different side to Dublin. So to be able to go out fishing in a boat and go fishing or go climbing a mountain, and then have your Dublin side as well. And it definitely made an impression, particularly in the type of work I've gone into.
Yeah, so you were fishing as a teenager.
Yeah.
And then you were bringing the fish back. And I suppose initially you're going, it was just the fishing that was the draw.
Yeah, I used to get up on Saturday mornings and watch Discovery Home and Leisure, I think was the programme. Right. And I used to have... Henry guy in the UK fishing all over, and you had all these programs. I was mad about it, and then I used to look up different places I could fish around Ventry or Dingle or up in Dublin and Wicklow and what I could catch. And then we were lucky, we used to have amazing, we used to get black sole, brill, mackerel, pollock, lobster, crab, you name it. And then it was like, okay, well, I better learn how to cook this, because this fish was costing mad money in the supermarket. And without knowing it, I was kind of gaining an appreciation for what good ingredients are and why they're good. I was able to then go into the supermarket in Dublin when I was up here and say, well, that mackerel doesn't look great. And this is as an 8-9-year-old kid.
Because it's gone grey a bit.
Because it's gone grey and muddy and the stuff that suppliers bring you in Dublin now, and they'd be wearing it going out. But it was it kind of culminates in this book. It's it's all about ingredients and look
and seasons, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what's in season at certain times, and seasoning and simple food done well with quality ingredients.
Because a lot of people, I suppose, have lost track of the seasons when it comes to food, because everything's available all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I put a chapter in there. So when we're in the restaurant, it's easy to be seasonal, because you basically ring the veg supplier and you go, what have you got? And they say, okay, it's May, you've got asparagus, or we're coming into winter now and you've got lovely mushrooms have come in, or beetroots. And you go, grand, I'll put it with a piece of lamb, or I'll... But you go into supermarkets...
Goat cheese and beetroot, see how I say I knew that?
Well, no, I know you're a seasoned palate at this stage.
No, I wouldn't say that now.
But at home, it's not as easy because of supermarkets.
Yes.
And I just wanted to... Not that you want to be ramming it down people's throats. Oh, you have to do this, have to do that. It's more about just the reasoning why. So if you buy something in season, it's generally cheaper because it's in abundance. So it's better for your pocket. It's better quality. It's generally coming from somewhere down the road. So you're supporting the sort of local business and local enterprise. And it's not been flown from halfway across the world. So
and here's the key thing. I think the big selling point is that it tastes like it should.
It tastes better.
Yes, it's more flavoursome.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have carrots straight out of the ground and you eat them, you kind of always go, that's what a carrot should taste like, not what I've been buying for years and years.
It's like we had Colin McInumber on last week for Culture Night, and he brought me up some eggs from his hens. And I brought them home and they tasted like... Eggs.
And if you poach them, they will be perfect because they're gelatinous and fresh.
Now, here's the thing.
Now, his brother actually taught me in college.
Martin McInumber.
Yeah, he was my lecturer.
Did you see his new book?
Yeah, I got sent it, yeah.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Martin was fantastic in college because he got the first years. And look, it's a tough industry. And his job was to keep people inspired and get them interested in the job.
No better man.
Yeah,
a better man. The first few pages are you answering the questions you're most often asked as a chef. Because you're on the telly, people know you and they meet you and they go, how, Mark, How, and
how do I cook a steak? And I go, oh,
yes, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But how do I poach an egg?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to read this verbatim because you might dress it up in some way. So I'm going to read it from the book. Yeah. Okay.
That's my general learning how to be an author is dress things up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One of the most commonly asked questions as a chef is how you poach an egg. I've read countless methods and so-called hacks, in inverted commas. Honestly, comma, the only way to achieve perfectly cooked and shaped eggs is with perfectly fresh eggs.
Yes. They will, like, if you use an egg that's been sitting in the fridge or the cupboard for 2 weeks, the egg white breaks down and it goes watery.
Yeah.
Now, that's great for baking and stuff when it's watery. But if you go and put that in rapidly boiling water, it doesn't matter what technique or hack or what vinegar's in
vinegar
the water.
Vinegar swirling.
It's just going to fall apart. And we've all been there where you have this sad little yolk, yes, in a cloud of bits of white. Yeah, yeah. And you're going, I can't be bothered with this. I'm going to just make toast. Fresh egg. So you get a fresh egg, you crack it, and you'll see it. Basically, the yolk sits up like it's covered in that gelatinous egg white. That's what gives you that perfectly poached egg. And again, it goes down to just good ingredients.
But here's the question, back to supermarkets. How do we know that the eggs that we buy in the supermarket are that fresh?
Shop in a good supermarket, and then the one thing you're looking for is weight. So if you take an egg out of the packet, fresh eggs are heavy. They're really, really heavy and they're dense. So you'll actually feel the difference between, if you really want to, you can tap the top, because the older they get, the more air will be seen in the sort of thin egg. Now, the supermarkets generally don't like you doing that. And then just go with, find the best before date that's longest or the furthest away.
Or do what I do, is use my poacher. Just old school. You're guaranteed it's going to poach it. Yeah, and you're not doing all that messy stuff. I tried that recently again because I thought I was doing something wrong. And I boiled the water and I put in a drop of vinegar and I swirled the thing around and I gently, really carefully placed the egg in the swirl.
Yeah,
all over the place.
I just scramble them when I'm in my own home because I can't. This is so much stress. I just get a whisk in there with loads of butter and we're there.
But there, so it's a perfectly fresh egg. That's the key to success when it's coming to poaching eggs. Now, how to cook a steak. Is this the most common question you're asked?
That is the most common question I'm asked.
Because people want to recreate the restaurant steak.
Yes.
They do. And they fail miserably at home.
It's easy to do. I've used a strip loin in the book because it's probably one of the cheaper cuts you can get, and it's what people buy most in Ireland.
Yeah.
And the key to it is a really, really hot pan. The problem is, and I remember it as a kid, no one had cleaned the extractor in our house, so it doesn't really extract the smoke. And to get a really hot pan, you need smoke. And then the fire alarm starts going off.
Yes.
The wife's really unhappy and the dog starts barking. But that for me is a sign of someone who's cooking the steak properly.
Right.
Because you want to get it as golden brown on the outside as quickly as possible.
How are you on? I was just thinking that, you know, because you're a chef, you cook in Michelin star restaurants. Right, three cookers. I want you to rate them. I want you to, the one that you'd bring with you, right? An air fryer, a slow cooker, a microwave. Which is the one that you know, if everything else was gone in the world, which would you keep? The air fryer, the slow cooker, or the microwave?
I'd have to, number one, I'd keep the air fryer.
Right.
Followed by the microwave. Followed by the slow cooker.
Fine, yeah.
From a practical sense.
I love this book. There's a lovely chocolate roulade in it. There's creme brulee. There's my favourite pasta sauce, puttanesca.
Nice.
Was in there. That's nice. What did you bring in with you?
So I brought in, not to be fancy, it's a recipe from the book. So it's southern fried chicken tenders with pickles. And I was at an event last night where we were serving caviar. Now, it's not something I generally serve at home. And I just thought the whole ethos of the book is simple, simple plates of food with restaurant hacks. So the restaurant hack here is the caviar, but
On gherkins on chicken, deep fried chicken.
Chicken thigh, yeah. And it's been marinated in a little bit of sour cream and then it's been fried. And for me, again, it's an example of what's in the book, which is food you can recreate at home. Forget about the caviar. It's chicken thighs, it's pickles,
it's delicious.
It's tasty. It's the seasoning. It's the salt you've added. It's the acidity from the pickle.
And what would be a substitute for the caviar?
Nothing. Just pick. I think the recipe in the book is just, it was just because you're a VIP right now, I brought in that. But in the book, it's just the southern fried chicken thighs and the pickle. Again, it's, I thought it was a nice example of what goes on in the book, which is ingredients you're going to know, dishes you're probably going to know,
yes,
and a couple of little tricks we would have used in the restaurant through the years to make life easier.
And even if you don't cook one of the recipes, it's a beautiful book. It's a really beautiful book. Season, Master the Elements of Amazing Taste, Mark Moriarty's new book. Mark, thanks so much and good luck with it.
Thank you.
That's it from us, Sarah and Cormac on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.